This is Due by Friday, the weekly challenge podcast with Merlin Mann, Alex Cox, and Max Tepkin. This week's challenge, go to the zoo. Oh, you picked up. Hey, Merlin.
Hey, buddy. How's it going?
My voice is pretty annoying, but other than that, pretty good.
Why? What happened? Pretty
good. I just have a sinus infection.
Is that why you were out?
A gremlin. Yeah. However, I'm down to only two sinus infections a year. If you'd like the gory details, it's great.
I do.
Max is here.
Do you, I remember one time I had a sinus infection and my nose exuded something that looked like Oreo cookies.
Hello. Is this on?
Yes.
Is it on?
You have to turn up your mic amp. Your headphone amp.
Did you watch that video?
I did. The anti-ASMR video. Yes. It was so upsetting.
It starts out bad, and then it just kind of gets worse, doesn't it?
Oh, man. So you know how you don't like to talk about the show on the show?
I do. I'm very familiar with that phenomenon.
There's this noise in editing, and I never know because I'm like, it's Merlin like seltzer, but do we keep it in? And what? I looked at Coke.
What? Oh. Who listens? Nobody cares about that. What are you talking about?
Guys, I don't know if I can do the show if I know that Tiffany Arment is listening.
I know.
Did you watch the video?
Oh, my God.
There's a video? So it's this life hacks channel. First of all, my daughter has become obsessed with life hacks. She read the David Pogue, like How to Run Your Life book, which probably should have done a tech edit.
Wait a minute. Does she know about 43 folders? 42 folders? How many folders
42 folders. No, she doesn't know about any of that.
That's like not knowing your dad's in the CIA.
You should tell her about the hipster PDA, Merlin.
She's very into life hacks videos, and she loves the David Pogue book of life hacks. She's obsessed with these videos. And some of them, there'll be like 39 minutes of food hacks. And so a lot of times it'll be stuff like ding da ding da ding ding. You get cell phone music, you know, and it's stuff like, hey, you can spin an egg to know whether it's fresh and put it in water, and then you can make a dress for your fork. And there's all this kind of stuff. A lot of them involve eggs. There's one where like they do these super porny like close up shots of like you take the lid from a bottle and then a razor sharp heated stick and make tiny holes in it. Then you can put it on the bottle and you can water your plants with it. And it just goes everywhere, squirts all over the window. It's so Tim and Eric. The one that I sent to Alex is the worst video that's ever been on the internet. It's the worst video. And so it opens with this excruciating what felt like 11 minutes of somebody taking a Russian Coke can. And with an incredibly sharp knife, you cut an aluminum can in half, and then you cut it in half on the other side. And you have to carefully, with a hole poker and more sharp knives, you mark holes on it. You poke holes in it. It gets better. Because now you take bolts and washers and nuts, and you're going to put them into one part of that. Then you put more poking, more heated things, more extremely sharp knives you hold in your hand like you're cutting a fucking bagel.
God, I'm having flashbacks.
You're making little feet for this, and you put a hinge on a Coke can. And then what they do is they put in some tinder, and they start a fire in their home. And then they put in half a hot dog bun.
What else are you supposed to do if you need to heat up like a single can of beans and all you have is like a very sharp knife and several Coke cans and pokers?
The other Coke can hack, which took about 6 minutes, was that you make a slot in it and use it as a bank.
You're not addressing the final 38 minutes of the video.
Not even getting to the good part. We're not even getting... So they don't tell you what they're doing. They don't mention things like there's one where they say, crush up some corn chips in a bag and put it on chicken. The next shot is someone eating the chicken. They leave out the part about cooking. But so they start out, and you see this like a paper cutout pattern that's like a, you know, it's a triangle. Ish thing. And so you take the triangle thing, you find a large piece of clear plastic, you put it on there, and then you get two different kinds of special saws and a drill press, and you can make your own fidget spinner. And then they show you how to make three more fidget spinners.
Have you guys seen there's like a subreddit about life hacks, and there are people who post their like little tricks and tips that they come up with around the house. And they're all like, I couldn't tolerate doing any of these. Like, a lot of them are like, nail a garbage bag into the wall, and then you don't have to own a garbage can.
Put put your recipes on a pants hanger and put it in your kitchen. And we just, and so we're just screaming boo. We scream boo, bad life hack, or we say just buy a plant squirter. Or often it's not my daughter says, so here's how to fold a jacket to pack. And my daughter says, David Pogue already said that. And then I say, honey, you know why we can afford 3 security cameras?
The Simpsons did it.
That's left this big life hack money.
Man, I remember back when we were doing our previous show, Top Scalps, which was not annoying and not about a terrible season of a great reality show. You both got very upset because you found out I didn't own a bed. And now I do own a bed, but really...
Oh, yeah, you used to sleep on sort of a nest of, like, clothing and rags.
She slept on a pile of Pokemons and cat toys.
It was a 25-year-old mattress, but... But well, now it's just a place where I have to clean dust out every week.
Like, oh,
it's
a bed is a terrible inconvenience. Yeah. All right, guys, I haven't read any news. I've been really sick of the Trump news lately. Like, I think we've crossed into some sort of new territory. It happened like a month ago where it's not funny to make fun of Trump anymore. The only funny thing is Trump himself, and I find him extremely funny, but oh, it's man. Actually like really depressing. Like all these, like, I don't know, like calling him a Drump or whatever is, it's just starting to make me all want to die.
Do you know about the origin of the red rose, Max?
Really,
you know about the red
choice
rose?
Ones. What's that?
Do you gonna put a red rose in your name?
Oh well, that's the famous symbol of the anti-suffragettes, which, as you know, the left is just a movement designed to deny women the right to vote. That's
it's an anime icon. It's an anime icon with a master's degree.
Yeah, that's one of the main political aims of the left. All right. Well, anyway, I have some real gems this week, so I feel like it's back to our favorite bit on Dubai Friday.
Max
reading
reads the
news
internet
stories about Donald Trump. New York Times, Washington. Dear Donald Trump, tell it his first 6 months in the White House should be judged in part by the legislation he has signed into law. At rallies and speeches and on Twitter, Mr. Trump repeatedly boasts of the bills he has signed, 42 as of this week. He has said no president has, quote, passed more legislation, conceding once earlier this year that he trails Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who he notes, quote, had a major depression to handle. On Monday, he went even further, claiming to have bested all of his predecessors in turning bills into law. Quote, we've signed more bills, and I'm talking about through the legislature, than any president ever, Mr. Trump said at a Made in America event at the White House. Quote, for a while, Harry Truman had us, and now I think we have everybody. Turning to Vice President Mike Pence, he added an aside about news media fact-checkers. Quote, I better say, I think, otherwise they'll give you a Pinocchio, and I don't like Pinocchios. Now, before I proceed with the story, what do you guys think about this?
I just kept wondering, I'm like, is it the Dayquil that's making me not understand this? Or is it just the typical Trump dialogue that is making no sense? I don't know.
I mean, this is a thing he said multiple times very confidently and with a lot of clarity that he's passed more legislation than any other president in history.
I don't know what that means.
I mean... What is that? What do you?
I don't know.
I mean, he signed more bills into law than any other president.
Yeah, it's true.
He said that many times. Mm. Why would he lie? Why would he lie about it? It's like the most easily Googleable. It's so fucking farcical. It's like he just owns everybody. Everyone's his bitch now.
There's a link via your political Twitter list this morning. I forget where I read it. I don't have it at hand. But it was basically this story, a very upsetting story about, well, there's a reason that he says these things, which is because everyone around him only tells him good news, only flags positive media from things like Fox and Friends. Because, and you know, you could kind of imagine that, like, from the beginning. Obviously, he just surrounds himself with, you know, the worst human beings who are incapable, have no experience in these jobs, and they're incapable. But on top of it, he will go fucking nuts on even or especially his senior staff if he gets the whiff of anything but total success. So basically, he's just, I mean, I know this sounds obvious, but I really want you to think about this, that it isn't just that he is ignoring this stuff on his own. It's that he is surrounded by people who are assuring him that he is doing the best conceivable job. And that if it weren't for these enemies, these 11 to 300 million enemies who are out to get him, that he would be regarded as the greatest president.
But you know what's one of the craziest things about this is because the left is like full. I mean, I don't know about the left. The liberals are completely consumed with Russia. Russia is like the single focus of the entire, you know, hashtag resistance. And they're all like, you know, fucking Louise Mensch on Twitter this morning was like, I've got my inside sources are saying that they're pursuing the death penalty against Paul Manafort and Steve Bannon for their collusion and their espionage with the Russians. Because, you know, Louise Mensch, as a legal expert, she knows that usually before you make an indictment or get a verdict, you usually try and figure out the penalty, whether you're going to kill them or not. That's how that's how the justice system works.
They're looking at a lot of others. I mean, they're pursuing it actively for Bannon, but they're looking at the death penalty for a lot of others.
Well, I mean, I checked in with my sources, and they all agree with what Louise Mensch is hearing. So I think our sources are in agreement on that.
Thank you. Thank you for real journalism, Louise.
Thank you for your service. But she, the frustrating thing with the Russia story is like the worst thing that's going to happen with Russia is like that there was some sort of collusion, which I'm sure there was. Like, I'm sure Trump did some shady shit and his awful sons did some shady shit. And maybe they get like the Trump family and some of the senior White House leadership. And then you know what happens? Mike Pence is president, or some other senior Republican who's actually competent and can pass legislation. Like, people don't understand that the only reason that we don't have this Republican healthcare bill passed, it's like not anything that we did. It's not, you know, the hashtag resistance on Twitter. It's not congressional Democrats. Like, they haven't even fucking slowed this thing down at all. They have not exercised any political power to impede or slow this thing down in any way. It's only the incompetence of Donald Trump. And it's only that he goes on TV and like directly contradicts the media narrative.
Well, and then scores own goals faster than anybody can put it on the board.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, and speaking of which, so do you guys have any guesses as to how Donald Trump's legislative agenda actually stacks up to previous presidents?
Is it actually like two or three?
No, he's not done horribly. Hmm. So the New York Times says he's passed a 40. They say as he approaches 6 months in the office on Thursday, Mr. Trump is slightly behind the lawmaking pace for the past six presidents, who as a group signed an average of 43 bills during the same period. Mr. Trump has signed, about an average number of bills. But this part was pretty funny. Almost half the other. Oh, and this is pretty funny. So I guess Trump has signed like 40 some bills into law, but Truman and Roosevelt had both signed more bills into law by their 100-day mark than Trump did in almost twice that time. Truman had signed 55 bills, and Roosevelt had signed 76 during their first 100 days. And then it goes on to say, but almost half of the other bills Mr. Trump has signed into law are ceremonial or routine. The president includes in his count laws like the one to rename the federal courthouse in Nashville after Fred Thompson, the actor and former senator who died in 2015. Even the Republican leadership in the Senate does not count those kinds of bills when they tally their legislative achievements. What's happening? Are these sound effects?
No, I tried to do a sound effect and it wasn't funny.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
By contrast, Mr. Trump's tally includes three laws to appoint members to the Smithsonian Board of Regents, another to seek research into better weather reports, and one to require the Department of Homeland Security to manage its fleet of vehicles more efficiently. That's so fucking funny to me that he's like counting that there's a separate bill that they have like inflation of the piddly shit that they do, like appointing regents to the board of the Smithsonian. And Trump counts each of those as a legislative victory. And then he goes, folks, I got to tell you, we have more better legislation than anyone, more legislation than Franklin Delano Roosevelt. I'm not going to get any Pinocchios. We got more bills than all these guys. It's the best legislation.
And then Mike Pence just nods. He nods and nods. I hate his fucking nodding. Get you a man who can nod at your inarticulate lies the way that Mike Pence nods at his inarticulate lies. It's so disturbing to watch.
Mm-hmm.
That's very good.
We should get like on one of those morning zoo shows. We should get someone to just nod along with whatever crazy thing we say on the podcast.
Oh, you get like a laughing black lady.
Isn't that what
Howard Stern?
Like,
doesn't Howard Stern have a laughing black lady?
All right, we got to start the show. All right, this one's an old one, but it was really funny. Vox. President Donald Trump. Oh, and it has a great Dubai Friday twist at the end. This is from Vox. President Donald Trump apparently forgot to book a hotel room in Hamburg, Germany for the annual Group of 20 summit of key global leaders and was stuck scrambling to find somewhere to stay, BuzzFeed reported Thursday. Did you guys read this?
Yeah.
No.
This is so fucking funny to me. The White House apparently waited too long before making a reservation for Trump and his traveling staff for the summit, which begins on Friday. All the luxury hotels in the city were completely booked by other world leaders, leaving the U.S. president, who had made his name in business building luxury hotels without a place to stay.
He's new.
A local German news outlet, Hamburger Abendblatt, reported on Wednesday that the U.S. government wanted to stay at the Four Seasons, but they were turned away because it was already booked. Trump's advance people are so fucking bad. Do you guys remember when he did an event standing in front of garbage?
Yes.
Yes.
Like, you have a whole staff of people to make sure that you don't take a picture in front of garbage.
That was my, like, job, was getting people hotel rooms for a year.
I was going to say, as somebody who does this as part of their job, does that just give you the wet shits when you have to think about forgetting to book a hotel for an international conference?
If any one of our listeners is interested in, like, what goes into being an advance person for presidential campaign, check out Alyssa Mastromonaco's book that she just put out, and she was Obama's advance person. Really fun read, really funny. She writes in a very funny and honest way about being like one of the most senior women in the White House.
I had a friend who did that for Dean and Clinton, Hillary. He, first of all, he's probably the best manager that I have ever worked for. He runs the best meetings I've ever been in. I mean, you have to be so organized. He would have at every, I mean, he's, have you ever heard me talk about this? Brian Mason is this guy's name. He used to be able to run a meeting where he would, you ever heard me talk about that concept of scheduling guests for a meeting? You know, you ever heard that on Back to Work? This idea that like the meeting starts at this time, this topic starts at this time, and then at 15 or 17 minutes after, this person has 8 minutes to present this. I'll give you a 2-minute warning, and then the next person has to walk in. And there's a propulsiveness to his meetings because he's planned out like every nanosecond of it and knows what has to be accomplished and what the action items are when everything is done. It takes a certain kind of very, very special mind to do that kind of work. And like if you're not detail oriented about stuff like just booking a hotel? Like, can you imagine? I mean, are there any wheels left on this bus?
There's all these mediocre white men, and they all have huge round heads with goatees that are sort of swallowing the lower half of their face. And they all just have like a thumb up their ass, and they're staring at each other going, did you book the hotel? Did you book the hotel? And you have fucking Eric Trump with his slack jaw, and he's going, my father... My father, he's a great man. He always remembers to book a hotel.
I gotta get to the end of this. I have to get to the end of this. Very tall man. He once lived for 3 months in a tree, and the tree paid him.
I have to get to the end of this story. Okay, so Trump couldn't book the Four Seasons. They were turned away. Quote, the delegation from Saudi Arabia had actually already claimed the Four Seasons as well as rooms at several other nearby hotels. Saudi King Salman won't be at the summit. A former finance minister is representing the country instead, according to the Financial Times. But the king usually travels with a huge entourage, camels for fresh camel milk, and a golden escalator, according to a Hamburg-based weekly news magazine.
Now that takes an advanced man or woman, but probably a man.
Now,
wow. Yeah,
exactly. Now, the Saudis are planners. They've got fresh camels for camel milk. Can you imagine that? You wake up in a foreign city and you're brought your morning glass of, you take your morning constitutional,
yep,
and then you're brought your glass of camel milk and you take it and you spit it on the floor and you go, this isn't fresh.
Yeah.
These camels aren't anywhere near here.
And imagine, so, you know, you wake up every morning and you know you do not have to call anybody to know whether the golden escalator is there. You just know you start walking. You start walking and you got feet on gold.
Hmm.
Holy
How
shit.
Do you travel with a golden escalator?
I mean,
how do they physically take it? Does it go? Where does it go? How is
it's
that
probably
possible?
Like it's probably like the like the stair car on Arrested Development.
You're gonna get some hop ons. Now, Now, I'll tell you, because I've been like living in hotel rooms for the last couple weeks, I've not purchased a golden escalator, but I did go on Amazon and I bought a travel shower mirror.
Explain, please.
This is just a thing you can buy. It's a travel shower mirror. So it comes
with suction cups on it, right?
Yeah, yeah. It comes with its own little detachable suction cup, and it kind of packs up flat into a little, you know, one of those like... You know when you get like an electronic thing from a not Apple brand, like when you buy like an Anker power battery.
Oh, when it comes with an unnecessary drawstring bag.
Yeah, it comes with a little velvet drawstring bag, like Ooh. You're the fucking queen of England, and here's your jewels are being presented to yours. Like, what? I don't know why every electronics company feels like they need to give me a faux velvet.
I got that
bag
for my headphones. My headphones came with a drawstring bag, and I was like,
oh, it's like, oh, I hate the touch of plastic and rubber to my fingers.
I need the velveteen massage of a Plantronics bag.
I need 8 cents of mock velvet with a string that's going to break immediately.
That's classy, Eustace.
But anyway, it has one of those, and then the mirror doesn't break.
That's cool.
All right, but what? I'm still stuck on why do you need a travel mirror? Are you in like hostels?
So I can shave in the shower.
Shower shave.
Oh right, yeah, we covered
this. I normally when I'm staying in a hotel, I just sort of man up and I shave over the sink. But we were talking about it on the podcast, and I was so frustrated. I was like, I just want to have a good shave. I don't want to stand over the sink like an animal. Just cold, trying to splash little palmfuls of water. Just splashing onto my face.
You need that big Avengers cup. Get that big Avengers cup. You fill the Avengers cup with hot water.
No!
You pour it right onto your face.
No. Yeah, men have a real tough time shaving. It must be such a burden every day.
All right. The Verge. This is a tech follow-up.
This is such a tapestry from so many outlets.
This is all the good boys, The Verge, Vox. We got all the explainer articles. okay, this is sort of a tech follow-up one. I just really enjoyed this. You know, I feel like these are the kind of business lessons that people want to hear when they listen to the podcast. Because we obviously, for our startup office, Hagrid, there's some lessons here that we can incorporate. Because there's no such thing as failure. There's just the opportunity to learn from mistakes. Mm-hmm. A failure is a gift.
Oh, God. The article.
Okay. The Verge. The sharing economy has made it easier for communities to peer exchange anything from a spare bedroom in your house to car rides and bicycles. But the model doesn't work for everything, as one umbrella sharing startup learned the hard way. Just under 3 months after launch, China-based eUmbrella has reportedly lost almost all of its 300,000 umbrellas available to rent across 11 Chinese cities. eUmbrella had an investment of 10 million yuan, approximately $1.47 million, when it launched in April. And it charged customers 19 yuan, about 290 per umbrella deposit. However, the founder discloses that an umbrella costs the company about $8.80 to replace.
There's your problem right there. You gotta make it up in volume, yeah.
There's your problem right there. But despite the losses, he plans to add 30 million more available across China by the end of the year.
That's fine.
The idea isn't a new one either. Over in the U.S., a startup named Brella Box pitched a similar concept on Shark Tank and was called, quote, the worst idea ever heard on the show by one of the panelists.
So if you're going to have like a building without a doorman and you want to add a little bit of class to it, you put some umbrellas down there. You know, if you can't fail fast, fail hard. That's what I always say.
Is there a statute of limitations on things that have that you're stolen that isn't considered like grand larsany?
Nobody
listens to this show.
This
just
is true.
Tell it.
Have either of you ever waited in line for an Apple product?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I do every 15 minutes. Have you ever waited in line for just an Apple store to open so that you have the privilege of buying something in the store? For example, maybe when the Linkin Park Apple store opened, it was very exciting. I came home from college, I came from Milwaukee to the store opening, and they were handing out umbrellas because it was raining, and it was so exciting. There were apples on it, and it was great. You go through the store, and then as you're exiting the store, there's somebody taking the umbrellas from you. I'm like, wow, what a good idea. But fuck that. So my friend and I snuck out with the Apple umbrellas, and I still have it today. It's the best umbrella in the world, and I wonder how much they lose on people stealing umbrellas.
What do you think is the deal here? Does every Apple store have a secret cache of Apple-branded umbrellas in their basement somewhere?
I think it's, well, they get special stuff for every store opening. Like, I have a shirt, too. It's probably...
But you're saying every time there's a store opening, every Apple store receives Apple umbrellas?
I mean, I don't know. It was that like 10 years ago.
You know, we should ask. I poached a I don't know what they call it, like a storeroom manager, the backroom manager of the Lincoln Park Apple store, who works here, and we should ask her.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
What the deal is with the umbrellas.
I would love it if you brought her on. I mean, she's probably still under statute of limitations, but I'd love to hear some stories.
I have to check and see if we can have a guest. Let me, I have mm-hmm. the various approvals and procedures I need to go through. Mm-hmm. I'll get back to you on it.
There is like a 5-year non-disclosure at Apple stores. Because I remember I was like, hey, I have this show. You want to be on it? And a person working there is like, yes, in 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, boy. Max, do you have any more follow-up for any of the great Vs?
I have one more. This is a... one more Trump follow-up that I really enjoyed. This one was just out, I think, yesterday. This is from Raw Story. And it's basically just one of these, like, shitty articles that's, like, explaining what a book says. But this one says, according to Devil's Bargain, Steve Bannon, Donald Trump, and the Storming of the Presidency by Bloomberg's Joshua Green, Trump grew irate over an article published on August 13th, 2016, and confronted Manafort about the report's contents. Quote, how can anybody allow an article that says your campaign is all fucked up, Trump demanded of Manafort. The article, titled Inside the Failing Mission to Tame Donald Trump's Tongue, described an irate and volatile candidate whom aides were afraid to approach in person. Quote, you think you've got to go on TV to talk to me? Trump reportedly asked Manafort. Quote, you treat me like a baby. Am I a baby to you? He continued. I sit there like a little baby and watch TV and you talk to me? Am I a fucking baby, Paul?
Oh my God.
Now, I wasn't there when this happened, but I personally guarantee you this is exactly what he said. It's too perfect. Of course Donald Trump yelled this at his campaign manager. I sit there like a little baby and watch TV and you talk to me? Am I a fucking baby, Paul? Of course that's what he said. The following day, an article detailing Manafort's $12.7 million payout from a pro-Russian party in the Ukraine dropped. Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, reportedly approached Manafort and demanded his resignation. Quote, I can't do that, Manafort told Kushner, insisting if he resigned, it would make him look guilty. Yeah, no shit. Quote, at this, Kushner's demeanor hardened, and he glanced at his watch, Green writes in Devil's Bargain. Quote, we're putting out a press release at 9 a.m. that says you've resigned, Kushner replied. That's in 30 seconds.
Whoa.
No, thanks for the leisure time, boss. Oof. Devil's Bargain. Oh, and then this was also incredible. Devil's Bargain also details the moment Trump soured on New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. Reportedly on election night, Christie sat down next to Trump.
Oh, God.
And as it dawned on the candidate that he was going to win, even as others in the room avoided congratulating the businessman. So Christie figured it out early, I guess. Trump reportedly, quote, flashed a look of annoyance, clearly resenting the intrusion. As Christie informed him, President Barack Obama would be calling him directly. Hey, Donald, the president talked to me earlier, Christie told Trump, referring to Obama. If you win, he's going to call my phone, and I'll pass it over to you. Quote, hey, Chris, you know my fucking number, Trump, a noted germaphobe reportedly said. Quote, just give it to the president. I don't want your fucking phone.
What a fucking child. But
I wouldn't want to touch Christie's phone.
No, I wouldn't either. But just what petty nonsense. Like a sitting governor comes up to you and says, the president's going to call on my phone, and you say, I don't want to touch your fucking phone. That's
I bet it
crazy.
Smells like Jimmy John's and butts. But
it for sure it has McDonald's.
The implication
smell.
Is that this is why this was a rift that became the primary rift in their relationship began with the cell phone problem.
Oh,
No, they're saying, if you read on, the thing I read said that basically this was the beginning of the end for their relationship, supposedly. Is they never healed this rift.
Over the phone?
Yes, over the germs.
So crazy.
I'm going to read from the internet. Chris Christie phone.
I don't think this is fake. I'm going to bring this to Snopes.
Snopes it.
This is exciting.
Well, you guys edit it. Don't worry about it. You're gonna edit the shit out of this. It'll be fine.
Yeah. None of this will be in the show. Nothing comes up, so it's not fake news, but it's not confirmed. But it's not like the strippers who threw up on each other. So.
Oh man, why can't we just have that one?
I wonder, like, obviously there's the best case scenario that will never happen is that, like, the whole administration goes to jail. But I feel like has Eric Trump done anything to put himself in jail? Is he going to be lonely if that happens?
Can I ask about this? Because I know we started talking about this before, but, like, because I know this is everyone's fantasy, right? Mm-hmm. This is the whole Louise Mensch thing of, like, mm-hmm. oh, they're going to get, my sources say they've got Paul Manafort and Steve Bannon, and they're going to get the death penalty. Okay, so all these people get put to death. What do you imagine? What do you imagine that solves? Like, don't you understand that they were voted into office by the American public? Like, how does it help to get rid of Trump? Like, are people really that short-sighted? Are they really not? Do they not understand that? Do they not have, like, any engagement with the sort of systematic causes that put Trump into office that made people think that he was a good choice? He didn't steal the election. He was elected.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that, like, I was just very tickled by all the people who were very upset about, it was an NPR or the AP tweeting out the Declaration of Independence on the 4th of July. But an equal number of people were like, wow, this is really brave. What strong statements.
Yeah, we have to resist.
There were people on our side who were like, this is so inspiring.
Everyone on Twitter is fucking Keith Olbermann. They're banging their shoe on the table and going, sir, at long last, have you no dignity?
Does he record that show in a guest bathroom? I've tried to watch it, and it sounds like the recording. You know, like when you Skype, you do like a podcast with somebody who doesn't do Skype a lot, and you go, "Are you sure you're not talking into your computer?" I'm pretty sure the computer.
You've
mic.
Got the wrong mic selected.
One day, Keith Olbermann, have you no dignity, sir?
He very first did that, and it was during the Bush administration, if memory serves, and he did this. He was just full of righteous indignation this one time, and it went viral. And he did the whole, like, you know, have you no decency, sir, type thing, because he likes to say sir a lot because that makes him sound like he's being very courtly. And he went on, and that was what, 14 years ago, and he's still doing it. But now he's doing it in like an Airstream trailer. It's really, really strange.
One of these days, he's going to be sitting there, and he's going to be wrapped in the American flag like a shawl over his shoulders, and he's going to be yelling at the president, goes, Mr. Trump, let me tell you this. You have finally crossed the line, and the American people will take it no further. And then in the distance, you're going to hear, sweetie, dinner's ready. Come upstairs.
It's time for aqua yoga, Mr. Olbermann. Who keeps moving my pants?
Put down your computer and come up for dinner.
The nurse is stealing my money.
I like how Max's old wife voice is kind of like Marge Simpson.
Remember when he surprised you with the tackle box? Max, you can't be made happy. I don't care about politics, but I know how I feel. And so all I can tell you is that, and I brought this up again and again because I think someone needs to bring up this baseless and indefensible point of view that I have, which is that I'm tired of feeling insane. I've felt insane. I mean, I personally felt insane my entire life. But the banana cookies experience of the last 2 years has made me feel every day like I'm out of my mind. Because it really is like Will Ferrell, you know, screaming about taking crazy pills, where you're like, can people just not see what's happening? And you can't say that in public anymore. It's not cool. It's not really that cool to say that in public anymore. Instead, you just go, oh yeah, cool. Like, I feel
that,
crazy.
That owns.
I you invented that. That's you. You do that.
Yeah.
You're the one who does that. You invented that. Anyway, all I'm trying to say is that I think there is an Occam's razor to this of us poor, stupid, whatever we are, title, which is that, like, we're tired of feeling crazy and feeling like there's so many things in plain sight that are just simply wrong. Not off, like, not you know, not a bummer, but like flatly wrong, and then it gets double wrong, and it gets quadruple wrong, and then like every day that goes by, and this is why people love needling whoever we are. They love needling us because they know that we already feel like we're insane, and then we become very crazy, and also I think Louise Mensch might be a false flag, but that's a separate conversation. But that's why, and that's why every night I sit there and watch fucking MSNBC, and I see Rachel Maddow explaining the headlines to her cats or whatever she's doing, and I go through this every night. And,
she's rustling papers in the
somebody here. Out there, please do this for me. Could somebody please,
Rachel Maddow. Hang on.
It's no, seriously. Just
and,
Trump,
and
just,
you know what? And do you know what Donald Trump says to the American public? Hang on.
No, you got to lean on the table, Max. And like
you know what Donald Trump is saying to the American people? That's right. It's lies.
So somebody take one of those top of the show bits with Rachel Maddow and then intercut it with a room full of 60 mangy cats. Like you flip it, do a 180 and you see all these cats just blinking while she's talking.
When she's squaring the papers on the table and a cat comes up and rubs its little cheeks on it.
She sounds like an insane cat lady, and once you see it, you can't unsee it. Well, Mildred Pierce, it's been another busy day.
Max, did you keep up with all this
you're on vacation? No, I didn't pay any attention.
Oh.
I didn't pay any attention.
I'm glad. How many hours of sleep did you get every night?
Well, we did a lot of morning tours and activities. It was so fucking hot when you were in Europe. So we really tried to like wake up early, like get out at like 7 a.m. so we could like go do stuff before it got hot. And then we'd sort of like chill out and nap in the afternoon. And then especially in Italy, Italy's like an incredible country. Everyone just goes out for dinner at like 9 o'clock. Like they're just all out drinking wine, hanging out in the streets and in the plazas. It was delightful. So then we'd just go out late. But we were not sleeping a lot. We were getting like 5 hours of sleep or something. Cause we'd stay out all night, like, you know, drinking wine and reading in a plaza and then wake up early.
That sounds like a delightful episode of Gilmore Girls.
What was your most surprising thing you learned about these countries or about yourself? What's the thing where you came home and you went, that's interesting. I never thought about that before. Anything that made you change your point of view?
So when we went to Florence, you know, that's where the Statue of David is. And the Statue of David is like basically in its own museum and it has a huge line. And we sort of talked about it. And there's other museums in Florence. It's like one of the best art cities in the world. So there's other museums, right? Like we really wanted to go to the Uffizi, which is the Renaissance art museum. And we were like, you know, if we spend a day and go to the Uffizi, we probably will not have time to go see the David. And we were like, that's fine. I've seen pictures of it 1,000 times. I don't need to go see it. And when we mentioned that to people, we'd say we're going to Florence. And they'd say, you're going to go see the David? And we'd say, no, we're going to skip it. We've seen it. And they're like, no, you have to go see it. It's much more impressive in person than you think it is. And I would say, well, because so many people said that to me. And I would say to them, well, okay, but you just told me that it's more impressive than I think it is. So now I know, now I'm calibrated correctly, and it won't be more impressive than I think it is, right? Because I'm accommodating my estimate of how impressive it will be based on your telling me that it'll be more impressive than I think it is. Like, I think it'll be a 4, and you're telling me it's going to be an 8, so I'll upgrade it to a 6.5.
They just you should really watch The Wire, They just give you the watch The Wire. Well,
yeah, exactly. But something that's much more. I mean, the statue is way worse than The Wire, no matter how good the statue is. And so we went to Florence. Oh, and the other thing is, people would say there's a replica of the Statue of David in like a plaza outside the museum. And even though it's an exact life size, 1-to-1 scale replica, you have to go see the real thing because it's much more impressive. And in the back of my mind, I was like, that's fucking crazy. Like, you're a lunatic if you see a replica and then go see the real thing and say the real thing is better. So sure enough, we go and we saw the replica and we were like, wow, that's pretty big. It's pretty good. And then we wound up with, we had like this museum pass and we had free time and it was free to get in. And we're like, all right, fine, we'll go see the David. So we went to the museum and we went in and we saw the David and like, holy shit, that thing just... I can't describe it. It's got some magic to it. Wow. It's more impressive than I thought it was going to be. It just fucking stops you in your tracks. I don't know why.
You got cucked by David.
Oh my God.
I got cucked so hard by
But I'm so glad it turned out that way. We had a, there's so many replicas of David. The art museum next, right next door to where I went to college had one. And, you know, it was on the cover of my textbook. I had to see his dingus every time I went to psychology class. I think it's a remarkable sculpture, you know, and I, but you know, it's like a Cameron from Ferris Bueller type situation. Seeing that stuff in the flesh, like seeing it, like being there and experiencing it in person, it's a markedly different experience. Not just because
why is that
dimension.
That's crazy.
I don't know.
It's insane.
I don't know why.
Why would it be that way?
We talked about Vincent Van Gogh and how like a Vincent Van Gogh painting has three dimensionality that you can't get in a photograph. We you know, there's things like you take like color field artists or Mark Rothko where you really
need
to see.
Yeah, but I've seen the statue. But I've seen the statue, the replica in Vegas before, and it wasn't that great.
It's because you were drinking a yard of beer at the time.
That's a really big statue.
Well, I wasn't, but presumably someone who enjoys fun would be.
There was I haven't prepared anything to read from the internet, but there was an article that I didn't know how to take it because it was all about the placebo effect and how it is like it's more effective than people would think. And I wonder if that's kind of how it is when people see art. Like, I know so many people who've cried when they've seen the Mona Lisa or just been in the same room as a Van Gogh. And they're like, there's just something in the room. But like, is it like Gerd at church? I don't know. It's so... Like, so I don't want to diminish those feelings at all. I just, it's fascinating.
So the Statue of David is actually in a sort of purpose-built gallery where it's like, it has like a special dome over it and it's like lit in a certain way and it's on this huge pedestal and it's like way up in the air. And I think that probably the environment probably does contribute to your sort of feeling of awe of this thing. I'm sure that's a component of it, but
so it's partly kind of it feels more, I think you were kind of getting at this, like sanctified, it has a church like
and it literally is in a church. It's in a what it's called, a basilisk,
a basilica.
A basilica, thank you.
Yeah.
You go down, Tom Riddle welcomes you, which seems entertaining.
No spoilers. What's that called when you put your soul into somebody? A Crookshank? What's that called? When you put your part of your Voldemort into somebody? What's that called? What's that called? A Weasley? What is that called? A fleshlight. When you put part, you cut yourself into seven parts and you put yourself in a fleshlight. What is that called? That's a
Horcrux.
I know this name. Horcrux. Is it possible that David's a Horcrux? I'm texting you my new favorite Wikipedia photo, which is a pretty close up shot of his dingus.
All right, Doug, a follow-up. So when I was in, I was complaining last week on the episode that we were going to all these like museums, and I'd be standing in front of the Statue of David, taking in its grandeur, and then my pocket would buzz, and I'd look down, and it would be like, there's motion detected at your front door. And I go, oh, thank you, Ring. I can't deal with that right now. Very, very flawed piece of technology. And then I was talking about this, and you mentioned that you just got a Ring. So I'm curious what your tell me about it. What are your impressions? How are you using it? Why did you decide to get it? Talk me through the whole thing. What is it, first of all? Explain to our listeners, what is the Ring doorbell?
First of all, this is a segment that has mainly only been in our private channel, and it's called #Merlin Merlin Shit List. Because each one of these things is worse than the other. All of these things suck. They're not
can I,
really,
can
they're
I play
not...
the theme song for I have some theme music for Merlin's shit list.
Yeah.
Go on. Please give us your review.
All of these things are terrible. They're all terrible, and even the ones that are good are bad. And so I bought a fucking cordless drill. And I went and I installed my Ring doorbell and got it configured. And like, it's just buzzing all the time and dogs are walking by and that might be a palm tree. And did you know that there's a delivery? And then the other thing goes off and now my new IQ cam can't be mounted upside down because they took that feature out. The canary thinks I'm gone when I'm home. And so I'm walking around, I got my dingus on the camera. No, canary, I'm home. Stop looking at my dingus. Each one is terrible. No, I'm here.
Okay, good.
Produced
good.
By Chuck.
No, it's Merlin's Gadget Corner. But Merlin, tell us your pick of the week. So, guys, the new Apple iOS developer preview is out, version 3. Let's list our pros and cons.
I mean, hey, you know what would be great? Is if I could have Wi-Fi again. Because I haven't had Wi-Fi since that one came out. Every time it just restarts all day long, and it just keeps restarting, and then I lose the Wi-Fi. If I turn off the Wi-Fi and I restart and do a hard reset all the way, we bring up two apples, bring it all the way up, back to it again. I get to reselect Wi-Fi until, guess what, bing bong, time for it to restart again. Every time it restarts on its own, I lose my Wi-Fi, and I got to start it all over again.
Is it on your iPad?
Yeah.
Is Plex working?
I don't use Plex on my iPad.
What?
He doesn't take baths.
No. I'll watch something on bath. No, I use my big boy TV for Plex mostly.
Man, I never watch anything on the TV.
Yeah.
I do everything on my iPad. Avocados. I don't know. I like take it with me while I'm doing chores and stuff around the house.
Yeah, chores.
I mean, I guess.
No, you gotta reconfigure your doorbell every night.
Yeah, when your canary gets moved, and now it's just taking a picture of a lamp all day. And the Arlo, don't get me started on the fucking Arlo.
Oh, I got to buy special chargers for the Arlo. The Arlo wouldn't work on the USB chargers that I had.
Arlos are, oh god.
Have you learned how to make the scheduling triggers work for the Arlo? I spent some time on it and I got it working.
But they suck. They suck so much.
No, it's good. Fine. Now it's good. Now I think the Arlo is good.
The camera is fine. The software is terrible. It's so bad. Right now, as we record this, I have an honor. If I may, Duga, an honor I'd like to share with you, which is that I have the number one negative review for a product on Amazon.
For the Arlo?
Oh.
No, for the Nest Cam IQ.
The new guy?
Oh, it's what's bad? Mm-hmm. So I shouldn't get it?
No, it'll be fine for most people that don't need to use it for anything. basically, if you set it...
We can't wait to see what you don't do with it.
If you set it on a flat surface and don't need it, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. It'll track movement. Hey, look, your cat's moving around. It no longer comes with any mounting equipment. First of all, it weighs probably 2 pounds. It has no mounting equipment. It comes with, guess what? A camera tripod mount. So.
No.
And what's great is in
wait,
the
wait, you're telling me you don't have a series of camera tripods set up in your home?
I'm not going to tell you what I've got because of my OPSEC. No, here's the problem. Here's the problem with this thing. So it's meant to like be photographed for a website. It's meant to sit on a shelf next to like a vase. But if you want to put it anywhere, what's so great in the diagram is it's like this thing's super flexible. It goes back and forth on it like a gooseneck. And it'll go from side to side 160 degrees. Well, my math tells me that's almost all the way around, except what they really mean is it'll go, get this, 80 degrees to the left, up to 80 degrees to the right. So it doesn't even go 90 degrees either direction. So try mounting it on a wall. Guess what? Everybody's crooked now. And putting on a ceiling, no, can't do that because guess what? They took out rotate image because I'm guessing they've got 4K capture to 1080 output, so they're probably doing on-device pokery jiggery. So you can't. So if you buy a camera mount, a fucking tripod question. Mount, yes.
Do you put these inside your house?
Yes.
Really? I'm
pointed at yourself.
That really bothers me.
Oh my god. Pointed at the door. Pointed at the door. Pointed at the door.
Why not have it outside the door pointed in? And then you can see
what?
If someone's out there.
What?
So like, are you creating your own panopticon? Like, on the side of my house looking down at the door. And if the doorbell rings, I can open up the dingus and I can see who's there. And then I can see if it's a mailman or if it's a team of burglars posing as a mailman.
I use the Nest Cam pointed at our front door, and I identify zones. And so it'll give me a ding ding if something happens on the front porch versus in this entry area. And the one that I've had for 2 years has been fine. Mounted upside down with about a nickel's worth of 3M adhesive, and it has worked fine. And now I bought this extremely costly camera. I set it up, and it's cool. I point it at the street and go, "Hey, look, this big dog, little dog," and it'll zoom in and it'll follow them as they walk along, which is great. But anyway, that was just super. These things, this is all, you know, 3 weeks out of 4, I'm excited about this stuff. And then sometimes, you know, it's like Apple stuff.
I gotcha.
Go.
No, I'm just saying, I gotcha.
How?
I've sapped all your excitement about home automation.
Oh, no. I mean, I'm still kind of excited about it. But, like, it's also stuff like if you've got a Ring doorbell and you hook it up to if-ta-ta-ta, like your options are like make a spreadsheet entry when someone hits it with their finger. It's like, what? Like, no, I want big patterns. I want interesting things. All of these things are like so Dale Gribble. It's like, oh, this is going to be really great. Every time my train comes around, it's gonna you know, donate $5 to cancer. Like, what is this stuff doing? It doesn't work.
That's all I've been saying since we started talking about home automation. What,
this
isn't
a home. This is automated security systems.
It's all the same family thing. It's all sort of stuff that like doesn't actually work.
Well, here's the thing, though. Do you get what the IQ does that's cool? Like, what it does, it is... So, here's the great thing. It's capturing at 4K, which is bananas. Mm-hmm. Now, why would you want 4K if it only outputs to 1080? Well, the answer is brilliant, which is if you have it sitting perfectly flat on a shelf somewhere, and it detects motion, it gently zooms in, and it starts following the thing that's moving, and then it says, hey, this is this person's face. Is this a familiar face? And you add it to familiar faces. So then, I mean, how fucking great is that? So you go, that's the mailman. Don't sweat it. Or like, you know, that's, and so you can do that. That's great. Except you can't mount it hardly anywhere at all and have it still work. It's just the.
So you're kind of selling this to me right now. So could you say, yes, that's a familiar face, but I want you to track it? Because this could be a really great cinematic camera for time lapses of my cats.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you can go read the reviews, including my one negative review, but no, it does. And it'll say it's not, I don't think it's very like perfect at it yet. I only ran it for just like a little bit to like get it set up. And then I was so excited. And of course, I hadn't really thought through like how it was going to get mounted. But anyway, I'm not normally that guy. But in this case, I was like, you know, that is pretty costly to take out a feature that is used by that many people. And there are a lot of people that are bummed about this. I don't know. It's just that if there's one thing that bugs me about a lot of this stuff, and this goes for Apple stuff too, is that everybody thinks it works fine because they're not using it as much as me. Or they're not trying to use it for something in production as much as I do. Where it's like, I feel like some people's impression of this stuff is like, I managed to set it up and it didn't break. 5 stars. And it's like, no, man. Like, I expect you to do all kinds of stuff for me. I expect you to, like, adapt quickly and make my life good. You know, not just be something I don't return.
So, semi-serious question. Do you guys, like, what do you expect from these security systems? Is it purely just like because if someone breaks into your house, like the Ring isn't going to stop them?
Well, what the Ring advertises that it does is someone rings the doorbell and I'm not home and it buzzes my pocket and it says someone's at the doorbell and I can open up the app and I see a little video of who's out there and the Ring has a little speaker in it and I can say, hey, sorry, I can't come to the door right now, go away. And then that person, because they're wearing a PG&E uniform, but I called PG&E and they said no one is supposed to be in the area and they're a burglar and they're just, what do they call that? They're
casing
scouting?
The joint.
Casing, thank you. They're casing the house. They're probing for vulnerabilities. Mm-hmm. They're trying to establish my schedule, my rhythm. So the Ring, it throws them off. It throws a wrench in their plan. They hear a little voice coming out of a tiny speaker and they're like, oh, the man is inside. And they run away. They scurry away in fear. That's what's advertised. But what actually happens is I get a notice on my phone saying someone's at your door. The doorbell is ringing. I swipe the notification and then I stare at a little spinner on my phone for the next 20 minutes while it tries to the Ring software tries
Max,
to route
Max,
the signal.
I have not yet, and this is not very far from a pretty well functioning Eero. I have not yet been able to get the app up, open it, and get it to a point where I could respond. I have not yet been able to do that before someone leaves.
It literally never works.
And there's no pulley downy dashboard dingus for it. Like that's a natural pulley downy dashboard dingus thing. There's no watch app for it. It's just like, oh, here's your thing. It makes a ding dong sound. Oh, guess what? The ringtone can be a barking dog.
Don't send a notification to my watch saying someone's at your front door trying to enter your house and then not show also have a picture of it. Don't send me like a horrifying push alert with like nothing to follow up on and then a thing that doesn't work. And the final, here's the icing on the diarrhea cake, is that the one thing that the doorbell is supposed to do is when someone pushes the button, it rings. That only works about 70% of the time.
Did you buy a chime?
Yes, I bought the chime. It only works about 70% of the time. And that's the exact wrong amount for it to work.
Yeah.
It's like it doesn't work infrequently enough that I've learned not to trust it and I've taken some countermeasure.
But I'm amazed that like I can walk almost across the street and still be streaming like Accidental Tech Podcast live, and that'll work. But somehow the camera. Oh, and also you have to set it into this. You have to like agree to put it into I will waste your battery mode in order for it to come up quickly. And even when it's come up, do you have yours in come up quickly mode?
No.
So basically there's two modes. There's one mode which is like, you know, I just bought this thing because I'm a fucking idiot and won't really use it. It doesn't matter if it comes up quickly. Or you can say, basically be in the sort of ready state. Yeah. Well, no, I have it in like the ready state. I've got it in like commando mode. And like still, it's like I'm sitting in the movie theater. I'm sitting there enjoying Spider-Man. And this guy, boop, somebody's dinging your ding-dong. And like, vugada, 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 vugada. And now at this point, people are looking at me. I'm like, it's cool. It's my doorbell. Vugada, vugada, vugada. And like it should be the Jetsons. I should be going hello, and they say flowers for Mildred, and I say oh they're next door, and they say have a nice day, and I say have a nice day, and then they steal all my cameras.
I'm very sorry.
I sent you the link. I sent you I think five David.
Oh, pieces. I'm reading your whole Amazon profile now.
Oh yeah, I got some Sloan reviews in there.
Uh-huh.
What else?
A Sloan review records. Of the book that published your tweets.
Oh, that was good.
Oh,
that was a good one. You should read that. That's a good one. These cooking bands I bought aren't as good as they used to be. Mm. Boy, I used to be Merlin Mann. But I could get good mad back in the day, couldn't I?
Wow, this is
not sweet. Out not well. At all. Oh, that's so funny.
God, well, I'm full of shit. I am so full of shit. That doesn't mean a bowl of Jolly Ranchers I leave by the door can be scooped into a trash bag and sold at the flea market simply because someone has a spare trash bag and the bonehead desire to make a fast buck.
This is really good.
91%.
That may be trying a little hard.
Yeah, well, I'll pass it through another edit. I'll have my staff look at it. 91%, one star.
Wait.
927 people found it helpful.
Yeah.
Are all of your reviews Markdown compatible?
I mean, they should be backward and forward compatible. That's what's nice about Markdown. Is it? Yeah, no, that's the thing. We put it in a text file. You could run a text file on your toaster if you wanted to.
Oh, shit. Merlin's Amazon wish list.
Oh, yeah? What do I got on there?
Oh!
Let's see.
Here we go.
Where's my list? I put things on there sometimes.
An 8-terabyte MyBook Thunderbolt Duo desktop RAID external hard drive. A Netgear Orbi home Wi-Fi system.
Yep.
A Sound Asleep Dream Series air mattress with comfort coil technology and internal high-capacity pump queen size.
Queen size. iRobot Roomba 980 Wi-Fi connected robot.
I have that. That's the Roomba I have. It's great. Alex told me to buy it.
Bandai Tamishi Nation.
Wait, are you cheating on Casper here?
Yeah, I'll take my Casper when we go camping, Max.
It's a better way to sleep.
Friend of the pod. Then you got look at that Freddie Mercury. Isn't that cool?
That's very good.
Isn't that badass? No.
Oh, Nintendo Switch, great purchase.
So you've got like your shopping cart, and then you've got your save for laters. These are kind of like a save for later, but it's also like, hey, if you wanted to get me something, you could do that. I need to really clean this up. Oh, some of these are old. Oh, look at that. Look at Carol. Look at Carol from The Walking Dead.
Oh, I found
Spire Mindfulness and Activity Tracker for iOS and Android.
Yeah, I'm going to buy it. I'm not going to buy it for myself.
Uh-oh. What's on my list?
A guitar. And a lot of books, a guitar, a pan, or a pot. I don't know. Some design stuff.
Ooh, no, Mandarin
this is,
style
this is
walk.
Pretty standard.
You want a Gretsch guitar.
Those are the guitars that all my favorite guitarists play. But I don't know how to play guitar, really. I just know, like, chords.
When we add a 2012, your oldest item is Contributions to Philosophy by Heidegger. It's really fucking boring. Jan Sichel. That guy's great. He's a baller.
Who?
Oh, The New Typography. You should get that. That's a really good book.
Yeah.
No, it's honestly a really good read.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I was very into that stuff.
That's why it's on my wish list.
I know. I'm going to get you a Gretsch. What's my oldest item? Let's see. I did a cleanup a while back. I wonder what my oldest item is. Probably a Sloan album. X-Men and Philosophy. Wally's sticker book. Oh, my God. I got a lot of stuff on here.
Max, how do you feel about the, like Simpsons? Wow, I'm on a Simpsons kick today. Like, Simpsons and Philosophy. Disney and Philosophy.
All those and Philosophy books, like, I've been gifted them a lot. So, I'll say, I have a lot of friends who write for those because they hire just, like, grad students to write essays, you know. Mm-hmm. Someone's like, oh, we should collect, you know, I don't know, like a Family Guy and philosophy book, and they hire a bunch of grad students to do it. So they're good employers of like philosophy grad students, and I'm happy for what they do. But the books aren't very good. I mean, that's one of the interesting. I have a great. Let me see if I can find it. There's this incredible thing. Here it is. So, oh man, this is too long for me to read the whole thing on the podcast, but there's a great, I think it was like a Reddit AMA or something with a philosopher, and someone asked, what distinguishes a professional philosopher from an amateur, and what can amateurs learn from professionals? And it was so fucking interesting. So I'll just read a couple of these, but he, this is the guy's answer. He says, professionals tend to be able to see several moves ahead in an argument, even those with which they disagree. This is to some degree from reading other philosophers, but mostly from having many, many conversations about the big questions before. In chess terms, you know the opening lines of most positions, even if you don't like the position. And then with regard to these, like, and philosophy books or any sort of, like, how would I put it, like, outsider philosophy or just, like, cute or themed philosophy or really any sort of secondary literature at all, he says, professionals tend to understand that the great historical philosophers were writing in a tradition to other philosophers. Their audience, for the most part, was not young, untrained, unread intellectuals. So professionals know that one is going to be in for a lot of confusion if someone just picks up Kant's Critique of Pure Reason for Personal Enlightenment. Unfortunately, the expectation that great philosophers will give their readers wisdom is so strong that when it doesn't happen, people get turned off to philosophy. And that's largely how I feel about it. You know, there's very few like voice in the wilderness, like outsiders who have some critical contribution of philosophy that they just sort of come up with. Like, it's a very, you know, you start with like Plato, you know, 2000 years ago and like work your way forward. And it's very in a tradition. So it's like, I get very skeptical of these like secondary literature books. And I think a lot of people pick them up and they're like, oh, I'm going to like get some wisdom out of like philosophy and friends. And, you know, I love Rachel and I'm going to see what it says about philosophy and learn some wisdom. And they don't really learn anything. And then they're frustrated and they're like, I don't like philosophy. I tried it.
I think a lot of times you take something. You try to combine these two things. You put your chocolate and your peanut butter together, and it's frequently a mistake. Like you're not gonna be able to really do a lot with Kant, you know, by mashing it up with The Family Guy or whatever. But I want to share a book that I had when I was a child that I think did this very well. It's the 1977 book, The Force of Star Wars, by Frank Allnut, which I sent you a link to. And this is a book that very carefully explains how everything in the first Star Wars movie, because that's all that was out at the time, is basically a parable for the New Testament.
That's...
And I'm going to try and find you some little bit of...
Go on.
Apparently, the entire unabridged audiobook is available on YouTube.
Oh.
So that's something to look at. Basically goes through and talks about how, I mean, basically that Obi-Wan Kenobi, if memory serves, Obi-Wan Kenobi is Jesus. I think maybe Darth Vader was maybe the false prophet. Wait.
Oh, huh. Mm-hmm.
That'd be a good challenge to listen to the audiobook that.
You're big into YouTube right now, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty big into YouTube. Of course, the app, play the music. The app is such a piece of shit. Have you ever used the CISO app? Don't even get me started. Oh.
I can't even. I had to download some things I wanted to watch because that fucking app did not work.
There should be some way. So let's say that you want to watch a TV series, you know, Game of Thrones, right? And the HBO app is just, it's just constantly cucking you. And it's awful. You can never find a series. There's like pre-roll ads for other shows on HBO.
Shows you're
even
already
though I'm
paying
a paying goddamn customer.
And the most important stuff you have to do requires these horizontal scrolls in this tolerance of about 5 pixels. And then pretty soon you're somewhere else on the screen.
And then, like, God forbid you want to watch more than one episode in a row. You have to go all the way back to the home screen, scroll, 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 select the series, scroll, scroll, scroll.
Everything's in a different place. Because they're promoting something different.
There should be some sort of system, some sort of like place on the internet that's, you know, not publicly accessible, but where people just sort of post these files of the shows, and then you can download them and put them on your computer and watch them in the way that you choose, like a grown up.
Only make sure I understand what you're saying here. You're saying the idea is that these apps are difficult to use. You take the file that would represent what you would get. Mm-hmm. Via the apps and services, but you would have that as a sort of freestanding piece of media that you could watch in a way that, that you like to watch it would be a way to do that.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I mean, you know, I know that that would doesn't exist. That would be illegal. But mm-hmm. if it did exist, that sounds like it would be a really good system for watching these shows. Because you'd see it and it wouldn't have any of the ads or any of that nonsense.
You think we could make money off that?
Ooh, I mean, this is risky. This is like hiring a hitman to kill your wife on the dark web. It's like all CIA officers. It's all undercover. Every hitman on the internet is an FBI agent.
Is that right? I didn't know that.
It's 100%. Yeah. It's, they're all FBI agents.
It's like Googling how to do insider trading without being caught. Did you hear that story? Did you hear that?
No.
Oh, God.
I mean, I'm pretty sure I know what the story is.
Yeah.
Based on the content.
How to bury your wife.
Siri did a funny thing for a while where it was like, where do you put the body? It would just take you to an abandoned park.
Right, when I get framed by the police for murder, my search history of just like constantly looking up serial killers and reading about like the methodologies of various serial killers is gonna be so suspicious.
Oh my God. I really don't like to think about it.
Serial killers? Why not?
No. I don't like to think about like how like it's. I don't think I have that much that I would be actually that ashamed about, except like how it reveals my poor taste, where it would just be like so like a comparing like different versions of like the Wonder Woman crown for 3 hours or something like that. It's like the amount of detail trying to find an exact quote from a movie or something like it, and just the whole jury would be like, who cares this much about this thing?
I wish Rescue Time could show me how long I spend searching for a very obscure GIF. And then I'm is there a spike in my, why am I using Logic on a Sunday night or Final Cut on a Sunday night? I'm like, oh, that's right. I was making a GIF to tweet.
Did you use GIF Wrapped?
Yes, because Casey List tells me to use it every day. So now I do.
It's very good. It's on my pound sign list a little bit, but it's good for what it does. And I think they're trying to introduce new things, but it's handy. And you know what's neat is, because, did we talk about this already? It's just using Dropbox for the storage. So you can go in on your Macintosh and go, I like to give everything like a name that'll make it sortable. So all my Parks and Recs will stay together.
Oh, so you're a GIF saver.
Well, just for the ones I use a lot, like Ron Swanson with headphones, drinking scotch and nodding, like that, I got to use that a lot. Like that's critical to my workflow. I can't read next door this week because it's all sadness. There's been a lot of coyote attacks. Nope. They got a pupper.
It wasn't Big Dog or Little Dog, right? Dog.
No, Big Dog, Little Dog are fine. But oh, good. No, it was a doggo and a pupper. One lady had to fight it off by kicking at it, almost hitting it with the kickings.
Oh, no.
Dingle and Dingle. Somebody got Bella. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
They got Bella. Isn't that sad? See, that's not even funny. I'm not going to read that.
No, don't.
Coyotes. Mm. Yep, Golden Gate Park. It's lousy with coyotes.
I just have a lot of now looking for part-time nanny posts, and it's like, what are you doing that this is where you're putting? I mean, I guess like people actually use your Nextdoor app, and it seems like people know each other, but on mine it's basically a Craigslist. Like, people are selling random stuff, and there's the one guy who posts the police reports every month, and that's the only thing in crime and safety, because nothing happens in my neighborhood except, was that gunshots or fireworks? It's always fireworks.
So much gunshot. It's gunshots, people checking for checking cars, attempted break-ins. Watch out for Prime Day. It's Prime stealing off your porch day. There's a lot of that. Loud bangs in Golden Gate Park. Urgent, urgent. Small fire at Dingle and Dingle. Better safe than sorry. Car broken into at Dingle and Dingle. Car break-in. SFPD Pride safety tips. From Lieutenant Troy Dangerfield. He's got a link. Let's see. What are some good safety tips for Pride?
You may know me from such films as Always remember to park on a well-lit street so people don't steal your spark plugs.
Hi, I'm Dusty Baker. I want to talk to you today about Pride.
Did you guys read the oral history of Planet of the Apes, the musical on The Simpsons?
Oh, I haven't read it yet. I instapapered
it. It's so fucking funny. It's so good. And then I rewatched it, and it's the most brilliant bit of comedy
And doesn't somebody break dance at one point?
I hate every chimp I see from chimpanzee to chimpanzee.
Dr. Zayas.
Dr. Zayas.
That's so good. Help us, Dr. Zayas. You know what's good is The Simpsons.
Are we gonna do the challenge this week?
Dug.
Do you guys want to start over? Should we start over?
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Merlin.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? It's Breakout Star David's Penis.
Good. Did you guys go to the zoo per our challenge?
I did. I went to the zoo.
I didn't go to the zoo.
Did you go to the zoo, Max?
We'll get to that later. No, I didn't go to the zoo.
Oh, what happened? How did you fail to go to the zoo?
Well, it was a beautiful weekend here in Chicago. I'm like, let's go to Lincoln Park. And we drive to the Lincoln Park Zoo, which is a free zoo in Chicago. It's amazing. It's wonderful. And then the parking situation there, like all the children, and I'm like, we don't need to do this. And so then we drove to the Shedd Aquarium, and it was apparently a free day.
Oh,
and
no, it was, you got to check for free day. Always check for free day.
I know. And then, so then we decided to go see Spider-Man instead.
Oh.
but the reason I wasn't able to get into the Shedd Aquarium on free day is because I realized my membership expired. So in the spirit of the challenge, I renewed my Chicago Shedd Aquarium membership so I can go see my beluga whale friends whenever I want. Although beluga whales are not whales.
So
members. Yeah.
They're fish.
Yeah. I think that counts.
And the porpoises there are not dolphins. They're definitely porpoises, even though they're
my
cool. Anyway.
Feeling. Max, did you go to a zoo?
Hell yeah.
You went to a real zoo?
Yeah, we went to the Munich Zoo. Ooh. We went with like three babies.
Oh, so you looked normal there.
Yeah.
Good. Is it what were your impressions of the zoo?
Well, the German zoo was like very clean and very beautifully designed and very considerate in the way that it was like laid out. The signage was great. All the German names for animals were hilarious. Like they call elephants like the like nose horn. It was called like the nose horn boys or something like that. And the bat. There was like a bat house that you went in and I have a video for you guys. Hang on. I'll put it in the secret, double secret channel. There's a bat place that you go in, and it was called...
Deflator Mouse.
Deflator Mouse. It was. Yeah, it was like... it was like the Flator Mouse. It was like the Flator Mouse Grotto or something.
It means flying mouse,
and
right?
It was just the Flying Mouse House. That was like what it was called. It was like... It was fucking hilarious once we realized what it was called. But this mouse thing is one of the bat thing, one of the most horrifying experiences of my life.
Oh, really?
Ugh. Let me send this to the double secret channel and I'll hold it up to the mic and play it so you guys can play it and we can listen to it together.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, 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 no.
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 Oh my god.
Ugh. Why is Veronica laughing maniacally as you're being chased by bats?
This is horrible. This is so horrible. This is like a found video.
This is scarier than the Blair Witch Project and the...
Do you hear him squeaking in there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I hear him. It's haunted. This is haunted. I don't like this. I don't like the green light. I don't like the darkness. I don't like Veronica laughing. I hate all of it.
they're just touching your head, too.
Oh, my God.
Like, the downdraft from their wings is on the back of your neck, and you can't really see anything.
Oh, my God.
Well.
Because they kept flying. They were like, their little talons were dragging over my hair.
God. Oh, my God. Beep, beep, beep.
And the thing is, if they're hitting you with their talons, but not just straight up fucking running into your head, they know what they're doing.
They know
they're fucking with the proles with those tiny little claws. Fuck they're, that. No, they're thank not, you.
It's
hard
not an
pass.
It's not an attack. They're just firing a shot across the bow.
No, it's like a cat rubbing up against you. Like, they think it's fun.
Yeah. Oh. Yep.
If you ever took a foreign language class, was a big draw the like, oh, here's what the Germans call, this is what the Germans would call moo. Like that's what
Animal noises in other countries. Yeah, that's a great.
So in German, a cow is mach or blocken, and then a dog is wawa or woof woof. Oh, God, it's just so bad.
Okay, so I fill out a webpage. Oh,
there's a name for bees. Brummen or someone.
In Indonesian, apparently a dog says guck, guck, guck.
Yeah, a bird is...
That's not what a dog sounds like.
No. A tortoise is a shield toad. A raccoon is a wash bear. A slug is a naked snail. A bat is a flutter mouse. A seal is a sea dog. A squid is an inkfish. Platypus is a beak animal.
In Japan, the sound a mouse makes is choo, 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 choo.
That's problematic.
A pig in German says grunz, grunz.
In Italian, a mouse goes squeet, squeet, squeet.
Squeet, squeet.
Squeet, squeet.
Stop, stop.
I know we're offending someone somewhere.
How to name, probably Casey, how to name animals in German.
In Turkish, a duck goes like this. Vak, vak, vak. Wait, why in French a duck goes coin? What?
What?
That can't be right. In coin, French coin. A duck goes
coin, coin,
coin, coin,
coin.
Capybara is a water pig. Porcupine is a spiny pig. Sloth is a lazy animal.
A horse goes, why hern?
Why? Say that again.
Why hern? Why hern?
Hippo's a river horse.
Oh, the frog noises are good too. In Hungarian, the frog goes, brekkakakaka.
Oh, I like
that. And in Japanese, the frog goes, kiro kiro.
Kiro kiro.
These are just great anime characters.
In Korean, the frog goes, gegul, gegul. Giggle, giggle. That sounds like the meat that they eat on the salam in the on the Sopranos.
Where they're like, the kind of meat that's giggle. Upsetting. It's upsetting David Brooks' high school friend. They because they don't know about giggle. They want to go to Mexico.
I took my uneducated friend into the store. Can you imagine having lunch with David Brooks? It would be insufferable. This man clearly, obviously, first of all, this entire anecdote is completely made up. But if it wasn't
he's
made up,
to
like,
pull,
can
he's
you
trying to
imagine
pull a
how awful
he's
it would be to have
Friedman.
Lunch with him? Yeah. It's like, I took my uneducated, like, rube of a friend into this restaurant, and everyone there was ordering gay ghoul. And he was like, what is this? And I was like, let's just go to an Arby's.
They got the meat. I just found out our Arby's closed, and I was so sad. I'm allowed to have Arby's once a year, and so we went to the grocery store near the Arby's the other day, and I said, I'll help you put the groceries, and then I'll walk over and get the Arby's, and it's closed. It's a AAA now. I had to text my wife. I had to text my wife, no more Arby's. Meet you at the car.
I've never been to an Arby's. What do you get there?
Beef and cheddar.
I get curly fries, and that's about it. There's
curly
a lot
fries,
of meat
yep. Get a
situation.
Jamocha. Jamocha shake.
It seems like, I know that you would never do this, Max, but what sort of like European fast food did you encounter, if any?
Oh, we did peek inside of, I wanted to check out like a McDonald's and a Burger King because there's always some funny stuff on the menus. And we really just did not have time on the trip, unfortunately. But when I was in Japan, we ate at a McDonald's, and it was fucking wild. There was like all these, like there was like a shrimp burger, and we got it in the airport. And it just
oh, that's cool.
It was just oozing with sauce. It was like the sauciest. You just opened up the foil of this like shrimp burger, and it was just sauce, like immediately flowing.
Sauce all day.
Mm. Oh, it was just coated. It was like an au jus. Ew. It was just everywhere, but it was like a mayo. Did you go to the zoo, Marlon?
I did. My my daughter had camp at the zoo all of last week, and so I would pick her up several days, not every day. But anyway, yeah, and so on the last day, we then had a wonderful afternoon just walking around the zoo, and she was telling me everything she learned. She showed me how they'd renovated the petting zoo area. I got a bunch of pictures I could send you. I met an alpaca with my same name.
Ooh.
They have two
Merlin
alpacas.
The alpaca.
They have an alpaca named Gandalf and an alpaca named Merlin. And I got to see them, and I got a picture of the zoo lady with Merlin. I can send you. We rode on a little puffer.
Did the alpaca have a productivity podcast?
Sure did. Had a bunch of index cards and a binder clip. And we had actually legit one of like a top
hipster PDA.
I hate my success.
Leave the bag in front of the door. Did you pack binder clips for the window shades?
Append a document. So what else? We saw some ranchos. We rode on a train. we had a really nice day. The koalas were unusually animated. It was a really, really nice day. But let me just pivot to my general feeling about zoos, which is very much like my general feeling about circuses, which I find them impossibly sad. And I agree. I mean, I have fun at the zoo. Well, one problem with our zoo, I've said this before, but one problem with our zoo is no matter where you go, anywhere in the zoo, you're pretty sure you're standing behind whatever you're supposed to be looking at. There is no front of house at our zoo. Everything looks like the old mall at our zoo. They took away our elephants. This is in show notes. They took away our elephants because most of them died within 1 year from lack of care. And then the other ones had to be taken off to some Sierra sanctuary to be taken away from the zoo. Somebody was, I believe, killed by a tiger on Christmas Day a few years ago. So our zoo's had some problems. It's just that ever since I was a little kid, something about the zoo and not always obvious things has made me very melancholy. And I don't know why that is. It's not just that's sad. So bad pacing.
Most American zoos, the idea that animals in a zoo should live in an environment that looks like their natural environment is a very modern idea in zoos. It's probably my favorite audio thing, like episode of a podcast ever, is this 99PI episode called The Wild Ones. And it's a readings from this book with my friend Chris Funk from the Decemberists recorded all this music.
You don't know Chris Funk. You don't know
Chris Funk.
I know Chris Funk.
Chris makes tabletop games.
You name drop people all day. Man, what a nice band. Did you know that I not only work for Cards Against Humanity, but I know award-winning game designer, 30 under 30 candidate winner, Max Temkin?
Anyway, everyone listen to The Wild Ones. It has this incredible bit about conservation and zoos and the history of zoos. And it's so funny and sad and wistful, and I totally get what you're saying about a feeling of melancholy. And if I go to a really nice zoo, a modern zoo, where the animals are in good habitats and they're well cared for, I don't feel quite as sad. But there is something sad about it. It's a feeling of this is all that's left.
That's why I say sad is too on the nose. Melancholy, not even bittersweet, melancholy. I mean, there's certain kinds of things I can be very specific about, which is it's sort of like me and feeling bad about my clothes and which shirt I picked when I was a kid. Same feelings here. We're and a little bit of OCD of strange numbers of animals in this one area. And I'm like, oh, I wonder if they make friends. I wonder if one of them feels left out. Or learning that I'll never forget seeing a plaque in the birdhouse at the Cincinnati Zoo explaining that this is the place where the last passenger pigeon in the entire world died. You're standing in the place basically where a species went extinct. And they had a little, I almost want to cry thinking about it now. Extinct animals made me very sad as a child. And so, but I'm looking at this plaque with this grainy black and white photo of the last living passenger pigeon. And I still think about it. It made me so incredibly sad. And
have you heard this documentary, The Wild Ones?
I'm going to say not. I've listened to a lot of that show. I like it a lot.
The music is it's so good. The storytelling is so good. It's so sad and so interesting. You will fucking love this thing so much. It's so good.
I think I know exactly what fucked me up with zoos is that I have memories of watching Free Willy 2 and Flipper before I ever have memories of going to the zoo. So immediately, you know, the whole plot of those movies is like, this is terrible. Get them out of there.
At the German zoo, we saw these snow, I think they're snow horses. They're like horses that are like donkeys or something that live in the snow. And what they were called, the sign in German said they were called Wildford Przewalski. But Przewalski was the name of the animal. And that sounded really, it sounded like a detective on the wire to me. Like, Przewalski, get your ass in here. I need your badge and gun on my desk by the end of the day. You're fucking done here, Przewalski.
Starting in August, you're a teacher.
And then just, and then just a sad horse clops out.
Did you guys get the photo of where the ranchos are? The tarantula display is in a building that says pachyderms on it. Because that's where we can't have elephants anymore. And it still says pachyderms.
I like that the elephants all died and they had to like evacuate them. And but they've like tried to fix it with some upbeat branding. Uh-huh. They're big. They're hairy. But are they scary? Tarantulas! Enter here! Special exhibit.
Here's an article from 2009. No elephants at zoo again ever. The zoo's been elephant-free since 2005 after half of the zoo's elephants died or were euthanized, and the survivor was trucked off to the Sierra foothills where it later collapsed and died. That led city supervisors to pass a law saying the zoo may not have another elephant until the zoo builds a 15-acre enclosure.
Oh, God.
It's near the beach. They don't have that many acres, I don't think.
I mean, you could see on orcas and on some other dolphins, like their dorsal fins flop over because they're actually so sad. Like they have found a physical way to show us how upset they are. And
oh God!
Oh.
Read a very uplifting report of the elephant's habitat and how they suffer from such ailments as peg leg and ingested sand while walking around their pachyderm house.
Oh God!
Sure. So I sometimes I'm so happy that I eat a bunch of sand.
I'm never sad when I see pandas in zoos because I'm like, you belong there. there's
pandas
no way.
Are so sweet, Alex. You think they're not smart, right?
No, they're.
You think they're useless?
They're going extinct. They're completely useless, and we should domesticate them and ride them around. And
this is your Pawnean salad. This is your thing where I'm not your libraries where I'm not sure why you feel this strongly about it, but it's clearly on brand for you.
Because
you fucking hate pandas.
Because we should be saving manatees and animals that contribute to the ecosystem, but no,
oh
we just give
God.
Money to fucking pandas that are totally useless. I do not want pandas to die.
Oh,
but I
just it's like a high school dropout with a PlayStation 2 just floating in a pool eating fucking cabbage all day. Nobody needs a manatee. Manatees
no,
are a
no,
plight. Do you know what they do to the boating industry every year?
Yeah, fucking the.
Yeah, with their Mike Cernovich smooth brains.
Oh, I heard skiing.
Listen, if you've ever touched a manatee, let me tell you, you can look at pictures of manatees all day long, but once mm-hmm. you're in its presence, it's very magical.
It's not
magical.
Enough to just see a copy of it. You got to see it in the flesh, right?
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
it's like
something
a David.
Comes over you.
And I don't know. It's just funny because like, and I don't mean to make this all about the circus, but it is a lot like the circus where there's something basically. There's all kinds of things that I think are very, and I'm not trying to do an internet bit here, but I honestly do. The circus has made me sad since I was a very, very young child. And as long as we're sharing wonderful experiences, we had some friends who are much more successful than us, and they had those suites you can get. I guess they do this all everywhere now. It was a big deal in Cincinnati when our hockey arena got those big suites with the sliding doors and like bedrooms and a bar and all that stuff.
Oh,
right? You get a fancy suite.
Like candy. Gotcha.
No. Right. Like we went there one time to go see the Russian circus was in town and we got these beautiful seats. But the thing was, from where we were, we could see the stuff. It was like basically at a 90-degree angle. So we could see everything that was happening on stage and we could see everything that was happening backstage. And I watched a man beat the shit out of a bear for 2 minutes, and it's
I still
can't get the image out of my head. And so I think
God.
That's what I've seen. I've seen
maybe
the picture.
He was just trying to milk him for his bile.
Well, you know, maybe he was compromised. The
you
the thing
seriously scarred by animal experiences. Here's where the last pigeon.
What are you going to go without? I mean, you see, everyone says how horrible. Everyone loves to complain, but what are you going to go without bear bile?
How will I get my half erections?
Yeah, how else are you going to get a boner?